Hey everyone, welcome to tonight's call. Let's get started here. There we go. So tonight, we're talking about dealing with challenges, and this is specifically for one of our members here who's going through kind of a pretty challenging time. And so two things here, you know, we can give her our, you know, our thoughts. She's in our thoughts, and just it's a tough time. And so the other message is this, you know, if you ever have anything going on in your life or any specific issues, you know, feel free to email me, you know, because I'm always looking, I want to make these lessons as relevant to you as possible. And so if you have any specific issues or challenges that you'd like some help with, you know, again, let me know. And so hopefully I can kind of put something together that'll be helpful to you. So that's what this is for. So I hope this is helpful to all of you, and especially the person who wrote to me. So I like this quote, right? When we least expect it, life sets us up to a challenge to test our courage and willingness to change. At such a moment, there's no point in pretending that nothing has happened or in saying that we are not yet ready. The challenge will not wait. Life does not look back. And that's how it is, you know? And so that's kind of how we're looking at this, that's just life, right? So sometimes these things are going to happen, and they're outside of our control. However, again, there are strategies, there are approaches that we can use when these things happen. Okay. So, you know, again, just simple challenges are unavoidable over the long term. And I think I think we all know this, obviously, on some level. But I think it's important to kind of bring it to the surface and make it explicit when it comes to our weight and our health, because unconsciously, we can certainly have the belief that, you know, everything, as long as I'm able to focus, as long as I have all this energy and time and everything's going well, I can do this. But we got to, and especially if you can do it when things are going well, just kind of prepare, you know, and kind of strategize for when things aren't going well. That can be a helpful thing to do. So that's kind of where we're starting with. Again, there's no, it's always going to happen, right? These challenges are going to happen. Things are going to go on. So we have to kind of have some strategy to deal with them, right? And so when these things happen, you know what I mean? Life happens. People get divorced. People pass away. People lose jobs. You know what I mean? There's lots of real serious stuff that goes on. And so when those things happen, it's really, maybe weight loss and peak health really aren't the main focus. And that's normal and natural. You know, I always say this, you know, everyone just expects themselves to be able to be 100% all the time. But that's really silly when you kind of take a step back and think about it. Right. I mean, when life's going great, you know what I mean? Like again, work's going great and your relationships are great and everything's fine. It's going to be a lot easier to do well than when everything feels like it's falling apart. That doesn't mean everything has to fall apart. You know what I mean? You can always focus on your weight and your peak health. However, it may not be the main focus. It can't be. Okay. And so again, this is just a natural, normal thing. And so I guess what I'm saying to you is this. Really, I think what this is about is really the all or nothing thing, right? And so we can't be all or nothing, and especially when life, you know, throws us a bunch of lemons, we don't want to go to nothing, but at the same time, we don't want to expect that we can be all. And so it's really kind of be about being in the middle, and that's what we'll be talking about. In addition to that, I have a phrase I like to use a lot, excuses versus reasons, because sometimes people can be very hard on themselves, and you know, people can pass away. There can be very intense situations that happen in life. And if we hold ourselves up to the same expectation, one of the things we'll say is, well, you know, I'm just using that as an excuse. Well, you know, I would suggest you begin asking yourself, you know, is it an excuse or is it a reason? Because there are reasons in life, right? So I'll give you an example of one, and this is a good problem to have. But when my son was born, he wasn't a good sleeper for years. Right. So I wasn't as healthy as I am now. I wasn't as healthy as I was before. And so was it an excuse, you know, that I wasn't living as healthy because I was tired all the time because of him? Or was it a reason? Maybe it was a little of both. I don't know. But it certainly wasn't just an excuse. I mean, it was a real thing. I wasn't sleeping well for years. And so that's clearly going to affect, you know, have an effect on me. And it did. I put almost 20 pounds on. So again, I just want you to understand that this happens. And so what I would do is share with you some strategies again that you can use in these times. And again, to that point, you know, you only have so much energy. And I think this is an important point to understand, because sometimes we tell ourselves kind of this fairy tale that no matter what the situation is, we can just deal with it. And again, I'm not trying to set you up for failure. You understand? I know, because what I'm saying, I can even hear it. It doesn't sound like the rah-rah motivate. Come on, you can do it no matter what. That stuff sounds great, but let's face it. I mean, life, you know what I mean? Sometimes when you get hit with three or four sucker punches in a row and you have to deal with this stuff, and there's all this new things vying for your energy, again, there's just less energy to put in these other places, right? So how do we deal with that? And so one, as we move into the solutions, we'll go into a few of them here, but this is an idea that I really love. And basically it's this, that you put 10% of your time and energy into the problem, analyzing what the problem is, acknowledging it, accepting it, and you put 90% of your time, energy, and thinking into the solution. And this really does work. And again, we'll go into this in a little bit more detail, but this to me really is effective in almost any situation. Okay. And so what I'm saying is that even when things are kind of going crazy in your life, or things are just real serious, you can still approach it with this 10-90% kind of ideal. And it works. As opposed to when things are going bad, you just keep telling yourself you just got to push through it and just keep forcing yourself to push. This is a different thing, because you're always thinking in your head. And so you can, what this is really saying is, it's almost like which glasses you're going to put on. Which glasses are you going to put on to look at your life in? Okay, so again, we know what the reality is. It's a challenge. And we want to put the glasses on that, you know, allow us to see 10% of the problem and 90% of the solution. Because again, that's gonna help us get through it as quick as possible. And what we don't want is, we don't want to put 90% of the time into the problem. Okay, so again, we want to acknowledge and understand what the problem is, and as much as we can, we want to shift over into the solution. That's kind of the goal. All right. And as you've heard me say a million times, and that's especially important when there's challenging moments in your life, is the number one skill truly of mastering your weight and getting to where you want to be is being able to get back on track. Okay. And so, it's the same thing here. So again, we're looking to get back on track as much as we can. And again, we'll go through a little bit more in a moment. And then finally, you know, persistence really is the key. You know, that's the real secret here. And so even when things are challenging, what you have to hold on to is that, again, you may not be 100%, you know, effective, but you need to just keep on pushing. And so sometimes persistence doesn't look like success. You know, sometimes persistence is just drinking your water. That's the least I can do that. Okay. But that's okay, because at least you have one foot still in the game. Right. So again, persistence is really truly the key here. And that's what we always want to rely on, because we need persistence, because again, we can't be perfect. And so persistence is really, I think, one of the most important qualities to maintain your success. Okay. So let's talk about problem-oriented thinking. Okay, because this is, again, we there are challenges, right? There are excuses versus reasons. There are real reasons in life sometimes that we're struggling, and they're real. And so where I feel like you're kind of the most leverage in those times, again, you can't just make it better sometimes, right? Sometimes you just have to deal with challenges. So when we're dealing with them, the most influence we can have on ourselves in making it better, I think, is changing our thinking from problem-oriented to solution-oriented. Right. And so let's talk a little bit about problem oriented first, just so we can kind of see what it is. And so basically problem oriented, I like to think of it almost like, if you imagine like a solar system where the sun's the center, everything revolves around it. Problem oriented thinking really is kind of when the problem is the core central part of it, and everything's revolving around the problem. And so, you know, any challenges we're having, we say, oh, it's because of that. And I can't do that because of that. And I can't. And again, I'm not saying they're not real. Right. If someone really close to us passes away, that's a real problem. Right. And so, of course, that's going to have an effect on us. But even in that situation, okay, we have the opportunity to look at it as a problem and focus on all the problems it's creating in our life. Or we can look at it and, again, acknowledge it, accept it. It's happened. How do I want to feel? How do I want to act? How can I get myself to do this, right? So we want to shift over solutions. But so this right here, I just want to go through problem-oriented things so you can kind of identify it. That's always the first step, is being able to identify what it is. And so when the problem's a central focus, everything's a problem, okay? It's just problems spiraling around problems and rotating around problems. And so the problem there is that energy flows where attention goes. And so if we got all of our attention wrapped up in the problems, that sucks up all our attention, and we don't put the energy into creating the solution. Okay. So we want to be careful of that. And it becomes kind of the don't think of, right? Don't think about a banana. Well, it kind of becomes that same sort of force where we're always thinking about the problem. We're always talking about what's going wrong, and it has it like a gravity to it, you know, and it allows us to, in another way, kind of, we're always fantasizing and imagining about all the problems, real and imagined. And it starts to just suck up our energy. Okay. And again, you know, this next one, problems are seductive and they're addicting to think about. You know, this is so true. You know, now again, don't get me wrong. Like sometimes when real serious things happen in life, you're going to go through a phase of this, and that's natural and normal. You understand? So I just want to make this clear. I'm not saying, you know, someone really close to you passes away, or, you know, someone, I don't know, some real serious thing happens. You know, I'm not expecting, you're not just going to be, Captain Solution the next day. That's not what I'm saying here. It's natural and probably healthy to go through a period where you are problem oriented, where again, you just kind of decompress and just kind of disconnect from the world a little bit. Again, so I don't want you to put an extra pressure on yourself here. But what I'm saying is, when you kind of come out of it a little bit and you start to realize, okay, I've been stuck in this place for too long, I don't feel good. That's where I'm talking about here. Okay. And so you need to recognize, though, and this is true for when things are challenging in life and when things seem fine, our problems in life are seductive, and it truly is addictive to just keep thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking about them. We all do this to some degree. Okay. Because it kind of goes with the negativity bias. And so we want to recognize that, because what it does, though, it keeps us stuck longer. It uses up vital resources and energy that we need to get out of the problem. Okay. And so right here, you know, think if you figure out the problem, it'll go away. I misspelled that, or double worded it. So this is something, this is part of the addicting part of thinking about problems, is we think we're going to cognitively figure it out, and then it's going to kind of disappear. And it doesn't really work that way, because it's kind of like, if I keep saying, you know, don't think about a banana, don't think about a banana, you just keep thinking about a banana, right? And so sometimes we think, and people do this a lot with weight loss anyways, but they keep trying to figure out, okay, why, but actually there's the next one here, the why question, right? That usually precedes it. So why do I keep overeating? You know, why can't I get myself to do the right things? Why am I struggling so hard? And so we ask these why questions, and here's the thing. We think we're going to get really good answers that are going to help us solve the problem and move on. But instead, what ends up happening is we just start coming up with more reasons why we're stuck. You know, and so a lot of times, why do I have such trouble? Or why can't I get myself to eat right? You know, and so, because, you know, you've always been an overeater. And, you know, there was that year when all you did was eat ice cream, and then you did this, and you've never been able to get yourself to do anything. You see what I mean? And so it becomes this, the way we think about it just becomes a heavier and heavier weight on us. Right. And so again, problem with the thinking, it really is addictive. And a lot of times we do it, we don't even recognize we're doing it. So again, the first step is just to recognize it, identify that we're actually thinking in a problem-oriented way. Because once we recognize it, then again, we'll be much more effective at moving into the solution-oriented thinking. Okay. But again, all these things are really, really important. And again, especially when there's a challenging point in our life, it's just natural, you know, to again to get locked up in problem-oriented thinking. Excuse me one second. I got to put my air conditioner on. Goodness. I don't know how it is where you guys are, but where I am, the humidity's laying like 95% for the last couple of days here. So I didn't realize how warm it was getting. Okay. So again, problem-oriented thinking, we want to recognize it. We accept that it happens. It's going to happen. But when we identify it, we want to move over into solution-oriented thinking. And again, this one kind of works well, because you can grieve, you can feel bad, you can do all these things, and yet you can still be solution oriented. Okay. And so that's where, again, I think it makes a big difference. So when we recognize, okay, oh man, I've been kind of stuck in problems, right? I've been focusing, and so I'll give you an example. I don't want to be specific to the person who had requested this. So I know you had written, okay, well, I'm eating at night now. Okay. And so I noticed even what you wrote, it was very problem oriented in the sense of, why do I keep doing this? I got to stop myself from overeating at night. I can't get myself to stop. And it was all wrapped up in the problem, right? Why is this happening now? Why can't I stop myself? Okay. And so again, the more you think about it, the more kind of gravity you give that behavior. It just starts pulling on you more and more. So what we want to do is we want to start, and again, it just starts simply by reframing it. And we'll go into the language in a second of it. But the first step becomes, oh my God, I keep focusing on what I've been doing instead of how I want to be. And so the first step towards solution-oriented thinking really is to watch your state. Okay. What I mean is problem-oriented thinking has a specific kind of physiology attached to it, right? Now, again, it's basically, you know, it's kind of shallow, the shoulders hunched. There's a tension to it, right? There's a way of talking to yourself when you're problem-oriented. And so we want to be clear of that. So we want to use kind of this break state where when we recognize we're being problem-oriented and we want to shift it, the first step I would suggest to you is that you shift your body. Okay, you sit up, you take a deep breath, you kind of move your shoulders around a little bit, hold your head up. It can have a huge difference. And it sends a signal to your brain. Let's start, okay, things are different. Let's think a little differently here. Okay, so again, you want to manage your state when you want to shift your thinking. So lead with the state change and then let the thinking change follow. You want to be genuine and sincere. This is very important because it's very easy to be almost sarcastic with this, right? So again, when things are feeling like they're going crazy, sometimes we get into that mode. And when we start asking more positive questions, more solution-oriented questions, that problem-oriented side can almost like, I don't know, it can be sarcastic with us. So when we ask the questions, which we'll go through in a second here, we want to be genuine and sincere about it. You know, what is a little thing I can do to help myself eat better? Why would I like to eat better? And so a lot of times when we ask these solution-oriented questions, they almost sound Pollyanna-like. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're just being, I don't know, you're not being realistic. But if you ask the question, you genuinely give it some thought and really think about answering it. Again, I think you'll be very surprised at some of the solutions you come up with. Your brain is very, very powerful. And when you send it in the right direction, you're going to get better results. Again, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So what we want to do here as well is, and I'm going to combine this with the next one. We want to think systemically, right? And so what that means is if the problem seems to be in the evening when you're eating kind of crappy foods, we have a tendency to look at just that hour or two where the eating's happening and say, there's the problem. I can't stop myself. We don't want to do that. Again, that's where the problem is kind of manifesting itself ultimately, but it's been being created by things that were going on before that. So what I mean is, if you're overeating at night and you're eating the wrong foods at night, again, we have the tendency, okay, I got to just stop doing that at night. But what I want you to do is I want you to look at how the whole day went. Okay. And so again, notice, you know, did you get a good night's sleep the night before? Did you drink enough water during the day? Did you move your body at all? Did you nourish yourself to the proper level? Did you relax? You know what I mean? So again, we want to notice because by the time we get into at night and we're overeating, we got to take into account our state. You know, did we eat the right foods during the day? You know what I mean? Did we just get ourselves wiped out? You know, maybe we didn't sleep well. So again, there's lots of other factors that can influence it. Don't get me wrong. You also use your willpower in that moment, but we don't want to just think in that moment and just rely on willpower. And so the way around that is really to think systemically. And so I'll give you like a good one is, well, I get to the end of the night, I eat my dinner, and then I'm just so wiped out and exhausted, I can't stop myself from eating, you know, ice cream. Well, so maybe a solution might be to start thinking about, well, I'm so tired, I can't stop myself. Maybe I should go to bed earlier. Maybe I'll take a nap when I get home from work. You see what I mean? So sometimes the solutions can be, they're not direct, right? You know what I mean? So you have to think a little bit outside the box to get yourself to act differently. Okay. And so again, the new solution includes the desired state, thinking and behavior, which is a good way to think about it. So if the eating at night is the problem, we don't want to just say, okay, I need to stop eating at night and that's it. Because that behavior is really, it flows out of the state that you're in and the way that you're thinking. And so we want kind of a full solution here. And so again, if you're, okay, well, I'm eating at night because I'm just wiped out and I'm exhausted and I got nothing left, right? So again, we want to identify, well, how do I want to feel in that situation? I'd like to feel more relaxed. I'd like to feel a little bit more at peace. I feel a little more calm. And how would I like to think? I'd like to think about how much better I feel in the morning when I wake up and I haven't eaten at night. I like to think about how, you know, next week when I step on the scales, as crappy as everything feels right now, at least I can still stay in control of this area of my life and make it feel better. And I know this is a challenging time, but I want to get myself through it as quickly as I can. And one of the most powerful ways I can do that is to eat better and really manage my health. You see what I mean? So again, it's not just I need to stop eating bad food. That's not getting to the core of the problem. The core of the problem is that you're eating at night because you're looking for a state change. Okay. And so we still want to get a state change. We just want to do it in a healthier way. Okay. So don't just focus on the food. Realize that there's a deeper levels of what's going on. And the next one is, so we're talking about problem-oriented thinking. A lot of times you can know you're doing it when you're asking why questions. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep making this mistake? Why can't I change? You know, am I struggling? And again, all those why questions really leave you open to beat yourself up. How is a much better question? And you almost can't go wrong if you start asking so again, struggling eating at night goes from, why do I keep doing this at night? I know better. I'm just not doing it. Why do I keep making this mistake? What's wrong with me? Instead, we go to, how can I get myself to eat better at night? Right? How can I feel more relaxed? How can I, you know, take my mind off the day in a healthier way? You see what I mean? So again, whatever your situation is, it really starts by almost like reframing how you're talking about it. And the how, leading with how, will almost always bring you to a better solution and answer than asking why. Okay. So just real quick here, I want to move through really just weak language and powerful language. This could be problem-oriented language versus solution-oriented language, right? But I just want to give you some examples and just show you some solutions. Because again, no matter what, and I want to point this out, sometimes when life really sucker punches you a bunch, you just feel wiped out. Okay. But remember, no matter how wiped out you are, you're always in your head thinking. And so, you know, even if my behaviors are a mess, I'm still in my head intentionally looking to be solution oriented. Okay. And I suggest you do the same thing. Right. So again, these are just a few examples of this, but I need to lose weight. Right. That's weak. Right. Because again, you feel like I need to, you're taking your power away. Right. As soon as you say you need to, it's not because you want to. And so the powerful version is, I want to be slim and healthy. Right. I can't eat those foods. And again, I can't. Someone's taking power of you. There's some force taking power of you. I can't eat them. I would eat them, but I can't eat them. Right. And it's confusing to your subconscious mind. So again, we can shift that over to I'm choosing to skip those foods because I want to look and feel good. And I want to eat foods that make me feel great. Okay. I'm going to try to start exercising, and try is always one of those words that always needs to be a red flag. So again, try turns into, I'm committing to exercise so that I feel stronger. I'm stressed and overwhelmed. Okay. And again, there's nothing wrong. You're going to feel stressed and overwhelmed sometimes, but it's problem oriented, right? I'm stressed. Even saying the word stressed, you're activating a neurology in your body of tension. You're breathing less. Or overwhelmed. There's a physiology that matches with that. So again, you can feel stressed and overwhelmed, but when you want to turn to a solution thing, it becomes, I'm going to take a moment to relax, breathe, and calm my mind down. Okay. So you're literally giving yourself suggestions all the time. If you look at it that way, it's really eye opener. All right. So again, I want you to take, and I wish for this one here, I wish I didn't use weak language. It's problem oriented. And again, it's totally right. So it's not a judgment. And that's why I don't like the weak in this instance here. But it's problem oriented, just to be honest. And so if you want to move out of it, again, we want to reframe it. All right. So again, questions, right? This is a big one. So, you know, problem oriented, why am I so addicted to sweets? Right. And so that question just leads to all sorts of beating yourself up. Right. And so again, we want to switch it over instead. How can I easily reduce sweets? Right. So why am I so addicted to these sweets? Why can't I control my sugar? Into, how could I easily take control of my sugar and eat less of it? Okay. Why is eating healthy so hard for me? Into, you know, what foods taste good and keep me lean? Right. Why is losing weight such a struggle? Into, how can I make weight loss more fun and just easier and more comfortable for myself? Why is this taking so long? You know, and how can I feel more patient through the process? So you get in the feeling of this, right? Again, we're reframing, we're putting it through a machine that turns it from problem-oriented to solution-oriented. Because again, so much of our thinking, it's like 90% of our thinking is in response to questions that we're asking. And so we rarely are aware of these questions that we're asking ourselves, though. But if you're feeling down, if you're feeling out of control, I can almost guarantee you that you are asking yourself problem-oriented questions, right? Who cares anyways? And that's a good one. You know, when life goes crazy as we're wiped out energetically, it's very easy to ask, oh, who cares? Right. And so we don't want to do that though. Okay. So we don't want to reinforce that. Again, that persistence. And even if our actions aren't great, we can't be asking, oh, who cares anyways? We want to switch that. What are the reasons that controlling my weight and my health is so important to me? You know, again, it's like these questions cause you to look in two different directions. You know what I mean? And it literally, it causes you to look at two different versions of reality. Literally, I'm not going to lose it anyways, right? We feel discouraged. And to, you know, what will guarantee that I get the results I'm looking for, right? Why is this so hard? And we switch that into how can I make this easier? Again, they're similar, right? They're two sides of the coin, but they're two total different realities and they lead to totally different places, okay? So make sure you ask better questions. Now, I just want to share this with you, the gray-space paradigm, because this really goes back to when you are, again, when life sucker punches a bunch of times, we have to kind of manage our expectations a little bit. And so this is one of them, right? Because again, you have to understand, we're always tempted by the all or nothing kind of concept of weight loss. And so this is kind of an alternative to that. And so again, basically, you know, perfection's impossible, you know, over the long term. And so this is important because if you think you have to be perfect to maintain your weight, then when life hits you with a sucker punch and you're not perfect, then if you believe you have to be perfect, then you're going to have a tough time, right? Because now you're going to be like, okay, well now I'm not perfect and now everything's blown. We do not want that. So again, we're not all or nothing. We're kind of in the middle. We're not black or white. We're gray. And that's what so much of your weight loss journey is going to be anyways. Okay. Again, this is about a higher quality of life. Now this is very important right here. And especially when things are going bad, weight just starts to not feel as important, right? Because there's more important things in your life that are pressing right now. But this is where I think you can kind of change the way you look at it to help you. The better you eat, the more healthy you live, the easier it's going to kind of deal with these challenges that you're dealing with and get through them, move through them to a better place. The weight and the eating really just compounds the problems and the pain that you're feeling. And so I look at it that way. You know what I mean? It's not just about when you get into situations like this, wanting to look a certain way really ends up not being very helpful in the motivation department. You see, and I see a lot of people struggle with that. When real serious stuff in life happens, what size clothes you are really just, it doesn't make much of an impact on the motivation. However, the higher quality of life, being able to get back to the norm, you know, living the way you want to, that is something that's still going to have some value, motivation value to you. Okay. So remember, this is about a higher quality of life and you want to think about it that way. The weight loss really does become secondary, you know, which is not a bad thing. It's just how it is, but you can still stay healthy even when the weight loss becomes secondary. And if you can't imagine how, again, just spend some time kind of meditating and thinking on that. Right. Because honestly, when you weight the weight loss secondary, I'm telling you, that's when a lot of good things happen anyways. And so again, this is the gift of this whole thing is that you start to think in a longer time frame. So when all hell breaks loose in your life and now you can't be 100%, a lot of times people go to 0%. And so what we want to do is we want to stay right around 60, 70% if we can. And then that's a new lesson we learned. And the lesson becomes, you know, even when life falls apart, I still like to live healthy, right? And again, here's another one. Your eating follows your mood, stress, and energy levels. So this kind of goes back to like, again, at night, if you're trying to stop your snacking at night, it's not enough just to say, okay, I have to stop doing it. You want to take a more holistic approach to it. And so what I would suggest is, you know, again, it's different for each person. It's what you like. But if you have any hobbies, if you like to, you know, knit, if you like to take hot baths, if you like to dance, if you like to read, whatever you like to do, I would suggest you start to lean on those things. Because again, the food is really just there to take your mind off of things, distract you. And again, to change your state, right? Sugar changes our state. So again, it's not enough to say, because again, you're feeling down and nighttime comes and the food's an easy way to feel better. So if we just say, okay, well, I'm feeling down, I got to stop eating the ice cream though, and we don't take into account the moods, the stress, the energy levels, we take the ice cream away, but now we feel more stress. We have no relief. So that's not enough. We got to go deeper and realize, okay, what are some other ways that I can, again, distract myself, you know, de-stress, relax, you know, improve my moods. You want to think more holistically. And then finally, again, transforming your self-image. This is a good question to ask. Who do you want to be and how do you want to respond in this situation? And so we're going right at it here. So again, this may not be a question you want to ask right the day after some, you know, horrible thing happens. Although you could too, by the way. But instead of just reacting, and so this is especially important if you've made changes recently, you know, is this is an opportunity for you to really solidify your new self-image. And so you ask yourself, you know, how do I want to respond in this situation? Which is a wonderful solution-oriented question, by the way. Again, we're accepting and acknowledging what happened, but we're asking ourselves a question about how do I want to respond to it? Which is nice because, again, it brings us out of reaction and allows us to make a decision that'll hopefully be, you know, better for us, right? Who do you want to be and how do you want to respond in the situation? I'm a big fan of that question. And if you come up with a real solid answer, right? So you say, I want to be strong. I want to be a healthy person. I want to prove to myself that no matter how bad things get in life, I love being healthy. I love doing these things. And I'm not going to fall back into the old addictions of utilizing food to stuff my emotions down or to distract myself from them. I want to be strong enough to handle them and deal with them. So you see what I mean? Like, again, you can reframe the whole thing, still accepting it. Again, you're not going to deny it. You're not running away from it. You're accepting it and you're articulating how you want to be. Right. So I think that's really important. And so let me just kind of wrap it up here with how to get back on track quickly. And again, this is for you to decide when you want to do this, right? But the first one, again, it's not just about food and exercising. Okay, and I think that's probably the most important distinction you can make. Right? I remember, you know, listen, sometimes when there's someone close to you passes away, sometimes you need the food just to distract yourself. It's just painful. You got to get a little bit of space from it. Okay, that's going to happen. That's natural. It's normal. You can't be judging yourself and heaping more pain on top of it. Okay, so what I would suggest when things are going crazy, it's not just about the food and the exercising. Those might be the two last things in the world you want to do. And by the way, let me just mention real quick here. Sometimes when really emotional things happen in life, like the big things that are truly emotional, you have to understand that emotions use up energy in our body just like exercising does. It's using up glucose. And so when emotional things happen that are super stressful, that are super life changing, you're using up lots of cognitive and emotional energy, which is the same energy you use when you're exercising, which is another way to say that you start to burn more glucose and your body says, we need more energy, which is another way to say you feel hungrier and you feel hungrier for crappy foods because your body knows that the quickest glucose you can get is desserts, sugars, you know, flour, you know what I mean? All the processed crappy foods. Okay. So that's the bottom up message you're getting from your body. In very stressful situations, you're going to crave crappier stuff. There's a scientific reason for it. Again, I'm not saying you have to give into all of it, but understand that there's a reason for it. Okay. And so sometimes focusing on the food and the exercising, it's just not the right time or place for it. And so in those situations though, again, it becomes water, sleep, relaxation, meditation, gratitude, your hobbies, right? Now, again, you think of the worst situations in your life. If you can get yourself to drink your water, get some regular sleep as best you can, intentionally focusing on the relaxing part, because again, you know you're stressed out physically, mentally, and emotionally, so the relaxation becomes even more important. Meditation, again, is right, the same type of thing. Gratitude, again, that can be very difficult when life's, you know what I mean, sucker punching you left and right, but it can be done, right? So if you're that type of person, utilize that. And hobbies. Again, they distract you in a healthy way, and you feel a little bit better from it. Again, you're not compounding the problem. Okay, so again, it's completely natural to take your focus off of food and exercising in those situations, but don't take it off everything. Okay, remember, food and exercising are just two parts of this whole thing, and you got all the other habits to focus in on instead. Okay, so don't let go of Again, make sure you hold on to at least one of them and as many as you can. Reduced to the ridiculous is just simply a philosophy of when things are going crazy, again, you lower your expectations a bit. And so if you were trying to drink 3 liters of water a day, and that took a lot of effort and energy, when things go bonkers, you know, lower it down to, I mean, whatever you want, right? It could literally be 16 ounces a day, 4 ounces. It doesn't matter, but keep some part of it. Okay. Eat something healthy a day. You know, eat one apple again. I mean, it can literally reduce to the absolute ridiculous. You know, I mean, it can really seem ridiculous, but I'm telling you, having one little toe dipped in the game, well, how am I just going to drink this 16 ounce of water? I don't care if that's all I drink. That's better than drinking no water. I promise you. Okay. So if you're not feeling like doing the things the way you were doing, you don't have the energy, the focus, the motivation to do that, don't give up completely. You know, allow yourself to keep maintaining some of it because it's going to help you get out of that dip quicker. And again, that's the goal here. Make it up as soon as possible. Simply, you know, if you pig out and you go crazy eating, if you have an opportunity to make it up as soon as possible, it can be very helpful. So a couple ways to do that. Again, if you pig out and eat a bunch of food, drink a bunch of water. Again, it's going to help you digest it, but emotionally and mentally, it starts to feel like you're balancing it out a little bit, evening things up a little. Eat a bunch of food, you go take a nap, go for a walk, right? Eat a little better the next meal. Okay, so that's an opportunity for you to have, and it can help with motivation, you know, because again, it doesn't feel like you're completely falling off the wagon. There's a little bit of stuff you're using to kind of keep yourself in the game. Come up with effective strategies. Again, this is going to be a direct result of solution-oriented thinking, right? Because again, maybe your life has changed, not in a good way, and you're getting used to it, and you have more responsibilities and struggles. And so what you need to do is kind of change things up a little bit. You don't have as much time to cook. Okay, how can I still eat well and just make it quicker? You know what I mean? Again, it all stems from the solution-oriented questions. And recognize that you may have to shift your strategies a little. The strategies that are working for you in that way of life may not work for you now. Okay, and work to make new ones. And then finally, again, manage expectations. I think this is so, so important simply because, and again, I've mentioned this before, but I want to end on this because I think this is so key. I think a lot of people do themselves a disservice. Life goes bonkers and they expect they're going to be able to operate on the same level. And I get it, right? Because it's that idea of like, no matter what happens, just keep at it. It's that attitude. And again, you want to use a little bit as much as you can, but at the same time, when everything's falling apart, you're not going to be able to work on the same level and operate on the same level. Okay. So again, you recognize you're going to make mistakes, you know, and of course, you know, it may take longer than you think. Okay. These are just the way it goes. So if you accept this going into it, it doesn't seem as catastrophic when you make mistakes. One of the worst things you can do, you know, life starts going sideways and you say, okay, I'm still going to, you know, maintain this over here 100%. Because, yeah, it sounds great, but the second you make a mistake, it starts to feel like you completely failed. And you got to be aware of that. Please be careful of that. Okay, because as soon as you feel like you failed on top of an emotionally challenging situation anyways, it's real tough. So let me throw some numbers out at you. And again, these are, I'm just making these up, but I just want to prove a point. So let's just say, you know, you were operating at 90%, you know, life goes bonkers and you say to yourself, I'm going to keep operating 90%. You don't, you make a mistake. And now you say, oh man, this is too hard. I can't keep this up. Well, now you go down to 20%. Right, as opposed to you're at 90%, life goes bonkers, and you say, oh my goodness, okay, let me take a step back here. Let me operate at, you know, 70%. Well, now you've kind of factored in that there's going to be some mistakes and missteps along the way. And maybe you can't even maintain 70%. Maybe you knock down to 60%. But 60% is way better than 20%. Do you understand? Again, these numbers don't mean much, but I'm just trying to use them to reference a point here, to make a point that please manage your expectations. And it's hard to do ahead of time because we always want to hold ourselves to the perfection. But I'm telling you, it's very damaging because if we think we're going to be perfect and then we're not, that becomes one more additional pain that we're dealing with. And at that point, it becomes very easy for our unconscious mind to say, screw it. I don't want to think about any of this right now. And then again, we go down to the 0-20%. Okay. Don't let that happen to you. Right. Very, very, very important. And, you know, and how it looks weight wise, you know, say you lost 50 pounds and all of a sudden life goes nuts and you put 15 pounds on. Who cares? You know what I mean? You're gonna get back to normal. Then you take the 15 pounds off. What you don't want is to, you know, drop 50 pounds and you say, oh man, forget it. Screw it. I don't want to think about it. And then you put 50 pounds back on. That's what you don't want. And I'm telling you, that happened to me. Okay. So again, I don't, you take it for what it's worth. But like I said, when my son was born, and it was a combination of a bunch of things. My son was born. He was a horrible sleeper for years. We moved into a brand new house that we redid all of it. And I did a lot of it myself. I was enjoying it. And I was working, running my own business. So again, all of a sudden there was an energy drain. And so I put on 15, 20 pounds. Okay. But again, I took my foot off the gas a little bit. I was okay with it. I knew it was a period of time. You know what I mean? That it was unusual. You know, could I have done better? I don't know. I don't even know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, always looking back, you could always do better. Did it have to happen? Nah, probably not. I will say I did that stuff secure in my ability to master my weight and control it when I really, really wanted to. But I was in a situation where I was struggling energetically. I felt wiped out, so tired. Okay. And so again, I reduced my expectations in that situation. And that's me. You know, so however you look at it, you know, I feel like I'm a master of my weight, but even that situation. Now I will say, let me just put this out. I would never let that go on for, you know, that was like maybe a year or something. I always knew in my mind that was going to be a short period of time. And if my son never slept good again, I would have come up with strategies to have mastered that. So I want to be clear about that. But in the short term, you know, again, it's just natural that when life throws you some sucker punches that, you know, there's going to be an effect of it. We can't always just overcome everything in the short term. So, all right. I hope this helps you out. Okay. And like I said, you know who you are. If you want to talk, just shoot me an email. We'll hop on the phone and just kind of work through some of this, you know, to kind of help you out. So, all right. Oh, okay, Carol. I'm glad you're on. Yeah, great. So super, Carol. So again, I wish you the best here. Like I said, if you want to hop on the phone and talk a little bit, I really want to help you out. I know, I see this, right? It's like sometimes life just throws you the perfect storm of crap, and that's where you're at. So I feel for you, and again, I'm thinking of you, and I wish you the best here. And again, everyone else, I hope you got something out of this, because again, it's going to happen to all of us at some point. Right. And we want to have some strategy and plan to deal with it ahead of time. So, all right, everyone, have a great night. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you all next Tuesday. Good night, everyone.